Good morning. Please rise as you are able for our call to worship today. Wait for the Lord, like those who hope in God's mercy. God's steadfast love endures forever. Watch for God, like those who eagerly await the morning. We watch for God, whose power redeems us. Hear God's hopeful word, like those who long for pardon. Sing praise to God and rejoice in God's love. Amen.
Good morning. What a beautiful day. I am so glad that you are here with us to worship today. If you are a guest or a first-time guest, we're especially blessed that you are here. If you've not already done so, stop by our hospitality center. We have a gift for you, and we want to put it in your hands. And we're just so delighted that you're here today. If you're worshiping with us online, we're delighted that you're there as well. Please catch the little pop-up box so we know that you're worshiping with us today. On each row, you will find our attendance pad. If you would fill that out, you can drop it in the offering plate as it goes by. We're just fresh back from the convening conference of the Eastern Texas Conference of the Global Methodist Church. We'll talk some more about that later, but it was an awesome time of worship and really spiritual renewal for me and Leanne, I think, as well. But we'll talk some more about that here in a little bit. So I have some announcements I'd like to lift up. This Thursday from 9 to 11, we are having an open gym. Humble ISD is on their winter break. And so if you're at home with your kids and they're making you a little stir crazy, come to the open gym. It's going to be from 9 to 11. We'll have some snacks for both kids and adults. Bring a friend, bring a neighbor. It'll be a lot of fun. So on February 21st, which is Fat Tuesday or Shrove Tuesday, as we say in the church, we're having a pancake supper. Our administrative board will be making the pancakes and the bacon and all of that. And we'll have an opportunity for you to contribute to a love offering. And the proceeds from the pancake supper are going to go to UM Army scholarships and also towards some campus beautification, because I think the frost has gotten a bunch of our plants. So we're gonna use some of that money to help repopulate our plants around the campus. And then the next day is Ash Wednesday. Can't believe that Lent is already upon us, but the 22nd of February is Ash Wednesday, and we are going to have a service at 9:30. That will be in Asbury. The service will start at right at 9:30, and we will go through the liturgy, and then we'll be there for probably 45 minutes or so, and you can come receive ashes. We have a lot of school parents that drop off their kids and come and are a part of that as well. So, but services at 9:30 in Asbury and 7 o'clock in here. I hope that you will be here to start your Lenten season off. Also, we are in desperate need of some folks to help with our media. These little slides that you see, that you sing your verses from, they don't just move automatically. There's somebody up there that's moving them, and it's very high tech. All you have to do is push the space button. It's that hard. So if you could help us out with that, we would appreciate it. If we get enough folks, you can do it like once a month or once every 5 or 6 weeks. So you can see Logan, you can see me, if that's something that you would be willing to do. We just need a few more folks to help with that. It's important. I'd like to invite Desiree Moore to come forward. Desiree, your microphone is right there. And Desiree is going to talk to us about one of our really important ministries. Yeah, Saturday's Child. It was a long week, y'all. I have not gotten enough sleep yet. Saturday's Child. Thanks, Desiree.
Hi. So many of you guys are probably familiar with Saturday's Child, but if you're not, a lot of kids that are low income, they receive free lunch during the week. So Monday through Friday, they're provided breakfast and lunch by the schools. But on the weekend, their pantries might be bare. So Saturday's Child is a mission that's very close to our church's heart, because we provide basic pantry items and food for these families. And they range from having one, two, I think we have one family that has seven children. So we provide cereal, milk, bread, canned goods, fresh fruit. And if you are in a Sunday school, chances are you might be plugged into Saturday's Child. But if you're not in a Sunday school, you might not be in a group. So I want to invite you guys to see me after the service and sign up. Whether you're already in a group and you'd like to maybe help out more frequently, or if you're not involved at all, then I'd love to plug you in with a group that could use some more help. Even if you yourself cannot afford to buy any extra groceries, we still need drivers. So the only person that has to be here actually Saturday morning are the drivers. So you can drop off your food, go to the grocery store, you sign up to get maybe canned soup. So you buy, right now we have seven families, we could have up to 10. You would just buy the amount of cans for the families we have, and then you drop them off in the Asbury kitchen whenever it's convenient for you during the week, and then the drivers deliver Saturday morning. So see me after church if you're interested in helping out with that.
This is a ministry that really is homegrown. You all decided that this was a need in our community, and you all started it, and we've been running it for a number of years, and it really makes a difference in the lives of these children in particular, and hope that you'll consider being a part of it. Now I invite you to stand and greet your neighbor and offer them the peace of Christ.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to praise and to worship you and to give thanks for all of the goodness that you bring into our lives. We know that you desire us to have a relationship with you, and so we ask for you to sustain us, to spend the time doing things that help us to nurture that relationship so that we can become more like Christ little by little each day. We pray this morning, God, for our community, for all of the families that live nearby, and ask that you would work within their hearts and guide them here so that we can minister to them and show you their love and their grace that abounds here in this place with these people. We pray for our country, God, and we ask that you would continue to provide safety and abundance, and that you would provide for the people that serve our country, the men and the women, that you would provide them with courage and strength and peace and safety. We pray for those in our community who are struggling with illness or grief. We ask that you would intervene in relationships that need to be restored, that you would provide healing where it is needed, and that you would give comfort and peace to those who are in sorrow. Lord, we know that you are always with us, and we ask this morning that you would be with our brother Tom Sakala as he recovers from a recent illness, and also, Lord, that you would be with our sister Martha Cheney as she is ill, and her daughter as she cares for her. We pray this morning, Lord, that your word would come into our ears and our hearts and our minds, and that we would be reminded of all the goodness that you have in store for us and all the choices that we have to make that lead us to a right relationship with you. We thank you for all of the blessings in our lives, but mostly for the salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. You know, as we come to our time of tithes and offerings, this is normally a place where I say how thankful we are to you for your generosity and all the ways that you give to God through this congregation. But I was reminded this weekend that this time of offering is really a chance for us to respond to the generosity of God, for all that God gives us, for our salvation, and through the work of Jesus Christ. The generosity and the grace, the amazing grace of God, is so abundant, and we can respond to that in many ways, but this time of giving our offering to God is one of those ways that we can choose to respond. So we're going to do that this morning. The ushers will come and pass the plate as well as the box at the back. If you're online, we've made for many easy ways for you to give, either online or by text. And we are continually grateful to you for your generosity. But as we go to God in prayer this morning, let us give thanks for his. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you offer us, the best of which is our salvation through you. We ask that you would take our gifts, that you would multiply them, and that you would send them into this community and into the world where they need to be. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we're starting a three-week sermon series based on a book by Leslie Weatherhead called The Will of God. And we are going to talk about the will of God. But first, I want to tell you about the last 3 days and where I've been. So, and Leanne as well. So we had the convening conference for the Eastern Texas Conference of the Global Methodist Church in College Station. It started on Thursday afternoon, and we had some of the most awesome worship that I've experienced in a long time. Very powerful preaching, and we got to gather sort of as a whole new tribe. And if you had any doubts about the move that our church made, let me just tell you, forget about those doubts. It was the most awesome gathering that I've been a part of in the 20-something years that I have been in ministry. I walked out of that place so excited and so fired up, and I am convicted that God has put us just in the big, fat middle of a movement that He is about. And I just want you to know how excited that I am, how excited that Leanne is to be a part of this, and I just want you to know it was the right move for us. There's not a doubt about it. And I just can't wait to see what God is going to do in this place. I am so excited about our new denomination and our new conference. I've had the opportunity to serve in leadership of the conference. And one of the preachers on Thursday night talked about how he, when he first 34 years ago, when he first was a preacher and was first given a church, that he was just so excited that he got to preach every Sunday. He didn't worry about what else was happening in his denomination. He didn't worry about what else was happening in the United Methodist Church. He just was concerned about his church. And he told us that he repents of that. And I thought of myself. I was so excited to get a pulpit. I was so excited to get to preach every Sunday and be a shepherd for a flock of people that are as amazing as you, that all I was focused on was my local church, trying to be the best pastor I could be. And I didn't pay attention that my church, with a big C, had lost its way and was going in some places that were not, I think, pleasing to God. So I tell you today, I repent of that. I'm a part of the leadership of our conference, and I am going to do everything in my power to ensure that our new denomination goes the way that God is leading it. And I'm going to be a part of that, and I repent of my myopia, of being just focused on my church with a little c. I'm going to keep an eye on what's happening in the church with a big C. But I will tell you, I am so excited about what God is doing in our midst and in our brand new conference. I'm really, really excited about all of that. I'm 60 years old, and I can't remember as an adult, being more excited about anything in my life. So I applaud you for having the courage to do all that we have done. And I cannot wait to see what God is going to do in our midst. All right, let's talk about we're going to talk about the will of God. I believe that God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. I think He has a plan for this church. But God also has a bigger plan, right? God has a plan for the salvation of the world, and we're just tiny little parts in all of that. But before we talk about what God's plan might be for you or for me or for this church or our new denomination, I want to play some what if with you. So let's say that I leave here today and I get into a wreck with an 18-wheeler. I have some brain damage, and the only way that I can be saved is an immediate surgery by a particularly skilled surgeon. They put the call out to this surgeon, and he's out at the Dearleys. And he puts everything aside, and he gets in his car, and he tries to take a shortcut, and he is stuck in the mud. My life hangs in the balance of whether this man makes it or not. Is it God's will that he got stuck in the mud so that I would die? Or is it God's will that he got unstuck from the mud and was able to make it to me in time? If I die, is that God's plan for me to be dead at 60? If the doctor gets there and saves me, is that God's plan for me? We can fall into this trap of saying that anything that happens is God's will. We can fall into this trap of saying everything happens for a reason. So let me give you one more, for instance. So a child gets bit by a mosquito that's carrying malaria or yellow fever, and that child dies from that disease. We can look at that and we can go, well, that was part of God's plan. So what if I told you that that mosquito had been deliberately released by a person that knew it would infect people? Would we say that was God's will? Would we say that was God's plan? I suspect not. I suspect we'd want some justice. I suspect we'd want that person to be punished, because we would say that man, that person who did that, killed that child. And when we say everything that happens is God's will, you put God in that exact spot of that person who released those disease-ridden mosquitoes. I don't believe that we can look at everything that happens, everything around us, and say that is God's plan, that is God's will for us. In his book, Leslie Weatherhead talks about three distinct wills of God. The first is the intentional will of God. That's what God plans for us. That's what God dreams for us. The second, which we'll talk about next week, is the circumstantial will of God. And the third is the ultimate will of God. I mean, it is the ultimate will of God that the whole world be saved. That's what an ultimate will is. But the three parts are intentional, circumstantial, and ultimate. The intentional will of God is what God intends for us. It's what God dreams for us. When God made the world, when God made people, we had a perfect relationship with God. I mean, we read in the Bible that we walked with him. We walked in the garden with him. We talked with him. We were able to have conversations with God as if he were our friend, as if he were a person, and he spoke back to us. That was God's intent for us, to have this perfect relationship with him. But God also gave us free will. God gave us the ability to do our own thing. And we did that. We did our own thing. We chose not to follow God's intent and dream for us, but to do our own thing. We imposed our own will, not God's will, in our life. And we, as humanity, have been paying that price ever since. God had planned on this beautiful, perfect relationship between us and him, and we messed it up. But the good news in all of that is that God did not give up on us. God did not say, well, you stupid people, I'm out of here. No. He found other ways to be in our life. He found other ways to bring us his love and his grace and his salvation. God did not just stop making plans. God did not just stop dreaming for each one of us. He has a plan for each one of us for a life of loving and serving him and receiving his good gifts. The prophet Jeremiah tells us all about that in the 29th chapter. You may have it somewhere in your home, stenciled on the wall or on a sign somewhere. But our text today is Jeremiah 29, starting with chapter 11. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then, when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Did you catch that? God knows the plans that he has for you. Plans to prosper. Plans for your welfare, not for harm, or calamity is another word for it. God wants to give you a future with hope, a future that is filled with good things and his grace and his love. I believe that when we are born, God has a plan for us. He has a dream. We spend a lot of our lives trying to find that dream, to find that will, to find a way to walk in God's plan for us. Oh, and we can mess it up. We can be called by things of the world. We can be affected by evil in the world. And we can be affected by the free will of others in this world. It's much like being a parent. When you have a child, you have a dream for that child. You have a hope for that child. You kind of have in your head sort of a plan. You know, they're going to go to school, and then they're going to go to college and maybe get a job and get out of the house. Yay. And then they're going to get married, and they're going to make you lots of grandbabies. And that's your plan. That's your dream for your child. But your child has a free will. How often does that child follow your dream? Not so often. I mean, how often have you watched your child doing something and you go, that's not going to end well for you? I think that's God. I think God is watching us, looking at us, and he looks at me and goes, Mike, that's not going to end well for you. That's not my dream for you. God has a plan. Leslie Weatherhead, in his book, and I very much agree with him, makes the claim that we as thinking followers of Jesus Christ have got to break with the idea that everything happens for a reason. It's just not true. We can be affected by other people's stupidity. We can be affected by other people's bad decisions that they made. I mean, God did not make 9/11 happen because he wanted to punish America. 9/11 happened because there is evil in this world, and it does evil things. God does not make hurricanes and earthquakes to go and wipe out vast parts of our population or our cities or our towns. It's a part of natural forces. There have been hurricanes forever. God does not set them up to come and punish places. And God does not give you a disease or cancer or anything else to teach you patience or anything else. Those things happen because of the broken nature of our world. Our God is a God that loves us. Our God is a God who dreams good things for us, that wants to give us good things. And sometimes we choose bad things. Sometimes we choose the wrong things. But our God is a God that walks with us and loves us no matter what terrible decisions we make along the way. This is a God who loved you enough to become a human being, to walk this earth with us, to teach us, to be rejected by us and die on a cross for us, to defeat death for us, that we might have eternal life. God has a dream for you. God has a plan for you. God loves you, and God wants you to find the path that He has laid out for you, and you will stray from it. You might get lost along the way, but God is always there with you, walking with you, trying to guide you, trying to lead you, because your God loves you. Your God has a dream for you. He wants to give you good things, and He wants you to find them. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we confess that we so often make decisions that are not in keeping with your will, your dream for us. Help us to do better. Help us to be more mindful of your grace and your will for us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. One of the things that happened at annual conference on Saturday is we ordained 90 people. I think it's a record in Methodism. We looked and searched. We have some history nerds that went back and searched in archives. And nobody could find where 90 or more Methodists had ever been ordained at the same time. And it was exciting, and it was awesome. And it's happened because the GMC has sort of changed the ordination process some. It's more about God's calling on your life and your gifts and graces. There's educational requirements, but it's not about reaching a degree. It's about letting God work through these people. And some of these people had been local pastors in the United Methodist Church for 30 years. And because God had been working through them and they had reached these educational requirements that they had, they were ordained. And I watched as many of them cried as their work was kind of finally recognized for them. And it was amazing. One of the ones that were the 90 that was ordained was Leanne. She was the very last one for no other reason than her name was Williams. I kept telling her the last shall be first and the first shall be last. But she did get a standing ovation because she was the last one and everybody was hungry. But with her ordination comes sacramental rites, and that is just a fabulous thing for us as a church. It's a fabulous thing for her, and she is going to lead us in our communion service this day. Yes, speak.
You know, he said at the beginning that he had to repent of the idea of focusing on just the local church, and I feel like I have to repent of a little bit as well, because as we moved into the GMC and I realized I met the requirements to be an elder, it seemed like it would just be a different box on the form that I would check And the Holy Spirit convicted me that it was so much more than that. And I am grateful.
We are too. So let me remind you that this table is the Lord's table. It doesn't belong to the Global Methodist Church or even Atascocita Methodist Church. This is the Lord's table, and it is open to all. You don't need to be a member of this church in order to come and partake of this sacrament. As Methodists, we believe that it is a means of grace. It is a way for you to experience God's grace and love, and all are invited to come forward and partake of this. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have heard the cry, forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. You know, I've always loved all of you to forgive me, but I can forgive all of you. I love that part of this service. So, carry on.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You formed us in your image and breathed us into the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, in the power of your word and the Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Well,
as we go out into the world, we don't always get it right. We can make a mess of things, but God is still with us. God is always with us. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, we know that sometimes we make a mess of things, but that you are with us, that you will guide us, that your Holy Spirit will be with us no matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter how wrong we get it. We know, Father, that you are with us. For that, we are so eternally grateful. Our gratitude really goes beyond our words, our ability to express it. We ask that you would continue to live in our hearts. As we go out into the world, it's messy, but we want to be your hands and feet. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Go forth from this place because the tomb is empty and your Savior lives. And your life is worth living simply because he lives. Go forth from this place to be his hands and feet in this community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.